And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah!
See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death.
Oh. And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain. Back to the House of Pain.
Welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. From Class the Cults on the cheese in between, the movies are beef, the entertainment is grade A. And I'm your host, Mr. Jason Giaconetti, and I'm joined again by my dad, Mr. Al Giaconetti.
Hi, Jay. Well, we're not doing a movie today, but we are reviewing Jersey Fest 2019.
Yeah, like we've done every year, folks. So, Jersey Fest is now a couple weeks old by the time we're recording this, just because of scheduling and school and stuff like that, because now Jersey Fest is after Labor Day, so it's kind of a little trickier sometimes to get time. But this year, we had at the same hotel down in Newark at the Marriott. Dad and I went down Thursday night super late after I got done with parent-teacher night at school or back-to-school night, whatever. Friday, we did the class. I did the class. Dad was there, too, obviously, with for the Gillman, with Creature from Black Lagoon. It was a brand-new piece debuting at the show. George Stevenson from Blackheart Models was debuting it there. It was sculpted by Mark Van Tine, and it's his full chest. It says there's no arms or anything, but it's full chest. And we found out, obviously I knew this already, but they were just finding out that they're making a display base for it that had the arm on a piece of wood or something that looks like from the boat, so it could stand up and become an actual display on your shelf.
Yeah, and then the back of the wood is going to be a map or a relief.
That's going to attach to the back of the creature.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing. George did a King Kong a couple of years ago that had the map to Skull Island on the back of it, and everyone loved that. So he did the map to the Black Lagoon, and that'll attach to the back of the creature, which would be really cool for a 360. Not going to work so well as a wall hanger because you can't see that. George left the back blank on purpose that way. It's just a great idea, something different. So it does stands out from the other creatures, especially considering that Creature Black Lagoon is one of the most popular Universal Monsters and one of the most popular model kits, period, kind of thing, with almost Dracula and Frankenstein, stuff like that. Right. So the idea is that you want to make this one stand out a little differently. So great time painting the class. We were there. At one point I said to Dad, there's a lot of talent in this room. Rusty Nail walked in, and John Alred was teaching the class. So was Jeff Camp again this year. I love John and Jeff. They are, they're really good friends, and they have a good time teaching. But Rusty walked in, Norbert walked in. In the class was Gordon Overman, Mike Regan was in the class, along with the guys, that normal guys that are there normally. Unfortunately, not Cousin Robert, and not. Yeah. And then Derek was across the hall doing the Batman, and Tony couldn't come down this year. But it's like, it was, guys who were normally there having a good time. But at one point, there was a whole lot of talent walking around. And then, like, of course, you have just the guys who pop in, like Saul, who look in the door, kind of thing. Kenny, like, what's going on in here? And it's like, so you're in a room of, like, really creative people, kind of sharing ideas and going back and forth. And, when they paint, when you do a painting class, they have a painted piece and they talk about how they did it. This year, they didn't have time to paint a piece, so they literally started painting it, tag teaming back and forth together.
Right. And I'm basically a fly on a wall in most of these classes because that's not my thing with there. I'd rather paint with a brush. But what really was amazing to me is that they had a couple of newscasters come in with professional cameras and stuff, and they interviewed people, and
Well, Rusty and Norbert did that for Resin Maniacs,
okay,
as well. And then I know somebody was talking to George otherwise than that, but Rusty was the one walking around with Norbert. They did that for Resin Maniacs for Facebook. They did it live. I mean, Tommy was broadcasting it live too and stuff like that. So
right, but I thought there was some newscast.
That was
there.
A separate thing. Yeah, that's not the same thing.
But that was the first time I had seen that.
Yeah, so it was good. It was a lot of fun, and even for those of us who don't follow the instructions like me. Because I already had an idea how I wanted to paint it, and what I brought along some extra, extra supplies to do things I did. Just great time. You end up realize like all of a sudden it's like, what do you mean it's 5 o'clock or 4:30 Like your day goes by so quickly, cause you're just painting, you're having a good time, you know, just laughing with the guys, you know, doing whatever. And this year was the first year we did not have any ladies in the class. It was weird.
That's right.
Every other year we've always had at least one or two ladies in the class. This year, nobody. And it was some different faces this year, which is good. Some really talented guys who have never been able to make it in, who were able to get, you know, they just took off work that Friday and came in. But there was
two gentlemen from, or four gentlemen from California.
Yeah. The two, and then.
The other two were from California too.
Did they come in? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike was there to work for George. He was working right at the table because George had to leave for the wedding. And he brought his buddy with him. Across the hall, they were doing the AFM Modelers Boot Camp. That's what Derek and his son were doing. They did a Batman bust. He's in a leather duster. It kind of looks like a very old school looking Batman, but it's nicely done, of course, because it's Gabe Perna, and Gabe Perna loves sculpting Batman. In fact, everything Gabe Perna technically probably is a Batman, but it looked outstanding, and a lot of them finished that up, and a number of them entered in the model contest, you know, because they had primed it black, and that had worked really well for the black underneath, so it saved you a lot of time, and they had a great time, and they were working in there. I went over and checked out how they were doing. And then the sculpting class was Eric Sosa. He came in from California, which was awesome. He was only able to stay Friday and then left Saturday night. My buddy, John, was in that class taking the sculpting. He said it's just great. You know, it's a lot of fun. Again, they've had great sculptors come in over the years, Randy Bowen and Drew Duchel and Mikey Rotella and guys like that. You know, just amazing sculptors. And just another Eric Sosa is another amazing sculptor. You know, that's the usual thing. Friday night, you hang out, kind of thing. I was trying to get the stuff for the model contest. And then I got, you know, drafted into duty as like, hey, I don't work here, but you know where things are. Go hand these things out. And so we're in the lobby talking. John and Mary and I are talking. Who walks by? Greg Nicotero with a Felicia Rose. And I forgot who the other woman who was. She was from Night of the Demons. It wasn't Leona Quigley or anything like that. And then Saul's son, who's also an actor, was walking with them. So we got to talk to them and hang out with them for a little bit. It's just the fun stuff. And then, you know, you get ready Saturday morning, you got to be ready to go because you got to get down to the show, get your models all in the model contest. And there's that line. There's always that little nervousness that you're standing there kind of like, well, what you got in the box? Who's got what? Because if you don't know guys, like those of us who know each other all know what we have in our boxes because we've kept it all super quiet because you don't want to ever give any away because the last thing you want to do is tell somebody. And then they're like, oh, I'll do the exact same thing because some people do that. I wouldn't, but some people do that. And they try to one-up you on the same thing. And so we set up and that was it. You know, this is the year Dad and I have been working on the Beast in 20,000 Fathoms. It was a rough year. As most of you know, I couldn't hold an airbrush for more than half of it. And when I could hold an airbrush, it wasn't steady enough to actually paint, until the very last 2 months, like May, June. And that time I probably could start painting again. So it was a lot of Dad getting the box built, incorrectly because people can't follow directions a couple of times and finally getting it built correctly. And it looked really, it looks really sharp. And then we did Rick Canizone's Beast in 20,000 Fathom sculpt where the beast is whirring up and then the cyclone is right there, which is the, you know, in Coney Island. The concept's great. Dad had an idea of making it look like a TV. So we got the skyline behind it. And yes, I know technically New York skyline doesn't really exist behind it, but it looks really cool when you put it together. And then we had Matt Lawrence build for us the flickering lights underneath to make the flame look. And then I went and got a spotlight that could be dimmable so I could make it look like the light was being thrown from a further distance. And we got lights that had a blue tint to make them whirl around so it looked like the police thing. And it just added to the overall thing of the kit. And then, of course, and this is something that was talked about at the show too, is placement of your piece. I'm looking at the front door and I know what door will be open the entire time and I know where dioramas have to go. So I purposely picked the very end of the table, completely in the eye. So every time you walk by the door, you literally could not miss the piece.
Yeah.
Because we brought one of the extra boxes that was a screw up, and that raised the piece up higher so people could see it. And since, thankfully, no one put a giant piece in front of me on the tables in front of it, you actually, every time you walk by the door, could see the flickering lights, or you could see the light on him, and it was hard to miss the creature. So good time, you know, and the show itself is always great. It's always great seeing, you know, like Mike Squissack and Jen, you know, that's Cthulhu Gizzard Customs, and then and always great seeing Todd and Nancy, that, you know, that, so this, you know, pick up pieces there. And, of course, the normal guys, Saul and Booney and Rob and everybody else. And Monster Dork Studio is back again this year. It's always great to have them come in. You know, people, actually, I'd never met him before. It's called New York 3D Creations, or NY 3D Creations. I picked up from him a Freddy Krueger holding a teddy bear, which is awesome. It's all 3D printed.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's where I think resin kits are going, kind of thing. It's just, to me, I like a good resin piece. These are a little thinner, they're super great casting. It's just, that works really well. He had a lot of female kits. It works beautifully for female kits. There's no seam lines. There's no nothing. It's all just 3D rendered. And if it's done well. The other piece I picked up from him was the John Wick that he got a cease and desist on that he's not going to make anymore. So I got one of those at the show special to get it out the door. And again, the Freddy wasn't even one he was supposed to even have. He had the Freddy with him because somebody said, I'm coming. And then the person says, hey, I'm not coming. He goes, I'm stuck with it. I'll buy it. But it was nice. We got to talk to, you know, Rick Canazone for a bunch, and his wife, who was very lovely to talk with.
I mean, and then you had all the vendors that we've come to know over all the years. You know, Daniel Fay at Sassy Satellite, Scott Kelly at Alternative Images.
And he had some new pieces this year. He got the Kong done.
Oh.
The Kong piece, it's a Kong with the standing. It's really nice looking. If you looked on, if you've seen it in the groups, he actually was hoping to get him cast. He got a number cast the last couple of days. Paul Gill was there, of course, from Gillman Productions. And of course, once Paul's there, it means, you know, Mark Van Tine's not far behind, the man who makes all the stuff for Paul. And obviously, the nice part is that with when you get to talk with Paul, I mean, I don't talk to Paul a ton in person. It's always online, or talk to Mark online. It's always great to see them and catch up with them. And I know Paul was casting like a madman, trying to get stuff done for the show. And then, obviously, you know, as you get ready for the show, it's all the different things that go along with it. And I know a bunch of guys are saying they had to get new stuff. But even the guys from Long Island were in. They had from the Bronx. John, I forgot his last name, Diaz.
Diaz.
He had the new Kong pieces. He had the Kong wall. He had the new Kong bust, which is like 2 feet tall, which is humongous. It's just new stuff, great stuff to see. I know we're probably forgetting a couple people.
Oh, Giovanni's.
Yeah, Giovanni.
In
the corner. I was getting there. I was working around the room. Yeah, Giovanni in the corner. He had his brand new, I've seen it before, but only in pictures. He had the brand new Brundle Fly where he's throwing up on his hand.
Oh.
And he also had the brand new for the show was the Cujo. And his wife does all his paint-ups for him, which is funny because I always think, like before a show, I'll contact, you know, like Todd and say, hey, do you need a table display? And I did the Fluke Man this year. Or I'll contact, hey, you guys need table displays? And I'll, you know, if I have the piece, I'll build it and bring it, or I have them send me one and I'll build it for them. I never have to contact Giovanni because his wife does his buildups for him. And they're always awesome looking, these like awesome looking creatures on the wall, and they're striking as all heck.
I mean, but the head of Cujo is life size.
Everything he does is life size. The pumpkin head is life size. Everything is life size. And it's crazy. And you're thinking like, wow, it's insane. But like, yeah, his table's pretty nuts. And again, the guys, and there was new guys there, guys who we, you know, hadn't seen in a while. You know, and maybe guys would come back. Matt's stuff is always great. People always notice his because of all the lights and sounds and stuff Matt has going on his. And it's just a fun time. And when you get to the point where you're actually in the show, you kind of, again, you lose hours in there too, you know, kind of thing. You wind up talking. You realize, oh, I haven't moved from this spot in like an hour. You wind up chit-chatting and talking and catching up with everybody.
Yeah,
so.
We also, John Dennett was there.
Of course, yes, John Dennett.
John was next to Rick.
Canazone.
And he's, again, we're very happy to see him. He had a heart attack last year, and he's doing real well.
Yeah.
And he had a new line of pieces.
Twilight Zone pieces.
The Twilight Zone pieces.
Yeah.
My favorite Twilight Zone is the Howling Man. And I'll be damned if he didn't have it right there.
Yeah, he's been doing that too. He's been trying to branch off, not just classic horror, not just, you know, Hammer. Because again, there's a lot of different things. And he's his own boss. So he kind of if he decides what he wants to sculpt, and he's like, I got to sell however many of them, you know, whatever. He knows, he kind of gauges some interest and whatever, and he's, you know, John's a great guy. And again, you talk about like a guy you can just talk to and catch up with and talk shop. We were talking to Rick Canada's own for half an hour, just talking about just model kits and stuff like that. Not even talking about his career. Not even talking. We were standing there and Greg Nicotero comes over.
Right.
And Rick goes, oh, I remember when I had this guy when he was 17. I'm like, are you kidding? He's like, no, when he was a kid. And he would be learning special effects from Rick Canizone. And we start talking about Creepshow, the new series. And it's just super cool stuff. And that's what Jersey Fest is. It's a fun time. It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of resin in that room. You can, you know, strap a lot of money very quickly if you want to. I did not buy a lot this year because I had actually been purchasing it. You know, I buy things. I'll sometimes pre-order stuff to help get pieces made. I definitely do that all the time. Like with Mike Swissack, I'll sometimes say to him, hey, I'm going to buy all the 31 heads for Halloween. And he'll sculpt them up. I'm like, great, I'll buy the first 10 right now. And I'll send him the money for it. And that helps give him money to kind of fund to get into casting then or whatever. And it's not just me. Other people do the same thing. But it's great to be able to do that. Because, again, we're not just, you know, people you buy from. These are our friends. I mean, I've been friends with these guys for years.
Yeah.
And their wives and everybody else. And you know, so good time.
You know, what, Jason, we mentioned that Greg Nicotero, you know, obviously he's the Walking Dead guru. But what a nice guy.
Yeah.
And he was just floating around the room. You know, sometimes you get
the celebrities.
The celebrities, and all they want to do is sit behind the table, charge you $10 to sign their name.
Yeah, he didn't charge anything. He signed autographs for free.
Hey, man, but he was everywhere.
Yeah. Well, he likes models too.
Yeah.
He was in checking the model room out. Him and I were that's where I got the picture, him and I together in the model room. But he's over looking at my stuff, and I'm like, I don't want to go over there and say anything because, you know, it'd be weird. But he's checking out the Beast. He checked out my Blackula, all the Jasons. He's one of the few people who actually got the references, the Jason, the 8-bit Jason, the video game. But he was checking everything out, and he was very involved. And again, he's not like he's, you know, he didn't build anything and put it in there. But he's just checking out what people are doing, trying to see what's going on. Because, again, at the end of the day, he's still a fan of, you know, this kind of stuff as well. And then, of course, Saturday night is the you know, the show and tell, which was a lot of fun. Yeah. One guy who did the amazing Azrael piece that was just literally a Moon Knight statue that now has very little Moon Knight statue left. It's almost all of hammered metal and like different things like that. Just insane. You know, and again, just name stuff. I mean, Derek brought his piece, one of the ones he rescued that was a Laura Croft that was absolutely like garbage. And he like brought it back from the dead and, you know, kind of thing. And again, me just, you know, bringing in my bus. I didn't bring the Beast in there. But we had a good time, and it's as always. Then afterwards, you wind up sitting around. Some people drink, some people play cards. We were just all sitting around, kind of, you know, shooting the breeze with Derek. We don't get to see Derek and his son very much.
Right, we wound up. We didn't get to bed till 2 o'clock.
Two o'clock in the morning, yeah. And that's the other problem too. You wanted no sleep.
We never do that.
You were hurt at that point, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get. It's bad when you get upstairs on a Saturday night and the late game is almost over on the West Coast. You know, when Hawaii's almost done playing a game, you're like, oh man, it's late. Sunday, same thing. We had that here class. It was not a class. It was a talk that Jeff and John did about what model, what you're looking for in a model contest and different things like that. Stuff that actually is funny is we'd actually spoken about, Jeff, John and I had spoken about, and Dad like, the year before. I'm like, what can I do to, you know, amp up my kits? What can I do about, like, how can I make people stop and like come back and look at my pieces more? And a lot of that stuff was talked about. And some of the guys in the room were experienced modelers. Some guys had no idea. All this stuff was all new to them. The idea of a splash of color here or there, if you're going to keep things, if you're going to do color gradation, keep it consistent. You know, things should look realistic and not shiny if they're supposed to be dull or whatever. Little things like that that I've gotten over the years from, you know, as simple as you know, Steve Park, who's been a great mentor of mine, and talking about, hey, Jay, you know, this is supposed to be, you know, wet. Well, it looks dry, or this is supposed to be dry. It looks wet, or it can't all be the same. It can't all be wet. Like, there's got to be parts that are really wet and parts that aren't. Or even like Jim Capone pointing out, hey, the button on the blouse of Regan isn't shiny. It doesn't look like plastic. How can I believe that this is a real thing if the buttons can't even look real? You know, things like that. It's little things that seem minute in the, you know, whatever, but it's so important. And those little things that I look for now when I look at pieces, and not to be critical of other people, but like to say, you know, if someone says, hey, how's anything? Like, oh, it looks good. They're like, well, what can be fixed? And then I now know what I'm looking for as a judge, because I've judged IMPS as well. But I now look for those kind of things as well. And I know when I'm looking at my pieces, is that button shiny? Is that, are the clothes, do the clothes look real? Does it look like fabric? Or does it look like painted on, you know, paint on resin or something like that, you know? So, and Sunday, of course, is the award ceremony at the very end. I am happy to say that took two bronzes and a silver. And then in the dioramic category, Dad and I, again, all this work all year, we did, you know, just putting this thing together and not being able to hold it, we were able to take a gold, which is my first gold, which was very, very, very much been my plan. I know people are like, yeah, but you shouldn't, you know, compete just to win. Well, if you're not competing to win, I don't know why you're competing. Like, I compete, you know, and there's things I paint sometimes and I'm like, I'm going to put this in. It's not my absolute best thing in the world, but I want to show it off. And that diorama was like a year of not being able to, like most of the year, not being able to do anything, and us getting frustrated with like, why can't they build a box correctly if they send us schematics that actually are correct? And how are we going to light this? And how are we going to do this? And it was all problem solving and scheming and stuff. And it was nice to win in the diorama category. I mean, would I love to eventually win a gold in the bus category, which is insane. The bus category is the most packed category possibly there, but sure. But it's nice to be able to be recognized that we did all the hard work and we got that, even though we couldn't move it around to show anybody. Literally, you had to people, when you go in there and look at it, because you literally could not move that thing. It's huge.
I mean, so. Jay says we. I mean, what it boils down to is this. At last year's show, Rick had the two pieces, the Retosaurus bust and the roller coaster. As the two,
it's a kit.
The kit. Oh, no, it's a kit.
Yeah, right. He had the Mighty Joe Young there too.
Yeah, but when we saw that kit, and I had the concept of, hey Jay, let's go over to Matt Lawrence and see if he can put up, you know, make something that looks like flames, and then we can do. So I had the concept. But Jason's got the ability, and I mean, I could never paint like his, like he does now. But again, it was really a nice thing. And when his name was called, there was, you know, if, let's say, put it this way, everybody was applauding, and it's about time he got the recognition. But again, if any credit he gives to me was probably the angst in getting, these are acrylic boxes. They're 18 inches. Wide, 8 inches deep, and 13 inches high. So I think that they weigh a good 8 to 10 pounds.
Yeah, they're not light.
But I went to have them ordered. There are two companies in the United States that I, when I Googled, that were supposedly top notch. What did they build us? The first two, from one company, one from the other, they gave us magazine racks.
Yeah, useless.
They're useless.
And the worst part is they would send that the picture back, and it would be like exactly the right picture. And then they would build it wrong. But the thing was, people had said, "Well, why didn't you build it yourself?" Like, because I wanted it to look real sleek and black.
Right.
Could we have gone and got an old TV set and torn it apart and done that? Sure. But someone did that a couple years ago,
yeah.
And like, you're just aping off their idea. Would it be cool? Yeah. But I mean, I don't want to do that. This looked like a black. It really created that big dark shadow box that you needed.
You're in a movie theater.
Yeah. It was like a movie screen. So. But yeah, we had a good time. It was great seeing everybody. We always have a good time at Jersey Fest.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're exhausted. Literally, like, we get back. We thank God we left a little earlier. We were going to leave at, like, midnight. We wound up leaving at, like, you know, 9:30. Didn't hit any traffic. It was great getting over the bridge. I was able to actually get half a decent sleep before going in and teaching the next day, where I was falling asleep pretty all day at school. Because you can't stay up until 1. We didn't go to bed till 1 o'clock in the morning Thursday night into Friday. Right. Friday into whatever, I didn't go back to 1 o'clock in the morning. We didn't get back to the room till 2 o'clock. So you're just plum tuckered, you know, kind of thing. So
yeah, because you're going, and it's not like you're sitting at a, you know, just watching TV. The last year when we had the Jersey Fest, the Monday was a school holiday, so you could actually get a good night's sleep, leave in the morning after the rush hour. Yeah. But this year we had to get back.
I didn't have off, and I couldn't miss 2 days of school within the first, you know, five, which kind of looks bad, especially since, you know, I was out the whole year before. So. But yeah, we had a great time. We're looking forward to Jersey Fest, you know, Jersey Fest 20. I know we call it like Jersey Fest 19. It's not the 19th one, but it's just Jersey Fest 2019. We're looking forward to Jersey Fest 2020. You know, who knows what's coming down the pipe every year. There's always something new, something crazy. Someone's got a new one-to-one. Someone's got a new bus. Someone's got something new. And that's the great part about this is that if you're interested in any of these things, folks, you know, these are the guys I'm friends with all the time. These are not just, you know, guys I'm buying stuff from. These are like my friends. I usually refer to them, my brothers and sisters in resin, like kind of thing. That's what we are. We're kind of like, it's like a family reunion. You see each other once a year. You talk online and stuff like that, like I do with my extended family, but you see each other once a year and you spend those days having a great time and it's like a big bash and you're like, all right, then hopefully that'll hold you through to the next time, you know, kind of thing. So, and again, some of you might be saying, Jay, well, what, you know, Jersey Fest, like I've heard of Wonderfest. Wonderfest is the granddaddy of them all. That's down in Kentucky. There's also Monsterpalooza and Son of Monsterpalooza out in California. There's G-Fest in Chicago, which is all Godzilla-based stuff. This is the East Coast one. This is the biggest show on the East Coast. And we say that, and everyone's kind of like, oh, yeah, you just because you love it. I'm like, no, this literally is the biggest model show on the East Coast. This is it. And people come from all over, you know, the East Coast especially come. This is a mecca of where it is. And, so, and the amount of talent that walks through that room at any given time, the guys you're standing next to rubbing elbows with, you know, could be working on this movie or that TV show or whatever. And it's not unheard of to do that kind of stuff. And to pick their brains. That's what I always find the craziest thing. Sitting around a couple of years ago with Jordy Shell talking, you know, talking, not just talking models, talking about like life and this and that and this movie and that movie. Yeah. Cause you know, and he was like, okay, you know, we're talking about that. Let's talk about like our personal lives. So I'm like, okay, that seems weird, but sure. But that was what it was. It was not about just, you know, hanging out and, you know, and it's, to me, it's very different than other horror conventions where maybe you have some friends there and stuff like that, but there's not all the kind of schlocky stuff to get in the way. There's literally, I mean, there's a guy selling the Godzilla artwork next to the Kaiju guys. Yeah. He's back again. His stuff is outstanding. The guy selling those giant posters in the back, those are his prints. His things. They look amazing. But they all there, all working together. So, you know, Jersey Fest 2019 was a big success. We had a great time. I'm hoping everyone who was there had a great time. It was nice seeing everybody as always, you know. Getting to catch up with the, you know, all that, basically our resin family. So we do have one email. I want to make sure we get that in for the mole people. I didn't want to kind of miss out on this. So let's do one email. And the email says, this is Hans Molman with the Mole Men in the Morning. Oh, wait, wrong one. And it's from Luke. Of course, you couldn't tell. That's a very, you know, if you have to know your references to get that. So anyways, Jay, just finished your episode covering the mole people. This film will always stick in my mind as being, like you mentioned on the episode, one which I was aware of for a long time but had never seen. For a Universal monster movie, it took a long time for this one to come out on VHS. It seemed, and I'm 99% sure, I still have the VHS, whatever that's worth. The main avenue which I remember this film from childhood was the famous Monster Film and Magazine. There were several ads which ran in the back pages or on the back cover of many issues of Famous Monsters touting movie masks or Hollywood masks for various monsters. The Mole People was almost among... It was almost always included on these ads, alongside more recognized movie monsters such as Frankenstein's Monster, Kahara's The Mummy. This speaks to a strong desire that the mole people have, since even though the film was not a success and was not in heavy circulation, they were still right there with the other horror heavyweights. I also seem to remember at least some of these ads offering mole people gloves as well. Now, I think Luke's talking about the one that the Don Post kind of things like that, whatever. Yeah, the Mole People is one of the masks that was very famous. A movie we'd never seen, like next to the Hunchback and Dracula and some of that. The other famous monsters related to Mole People memory I have is the Mole People magazine, also released by Warren Publishing, which told the story of a movie using a few hundred pictures with word balloons added, similar to a photo novella or a fumetti. This was the third Warren Fumetti mag that I was aware of, the others being Horror Party Beach and the double feature of Curse of Frankenstein and Horror of Dracula. Why the Mole People was chosen over more well-known fare, I don't know. Maybe this was just what Warren could get his hands on. I remember reading this as a kid and enjoying it, partly because of the format and also because it was the only way to see the movie for many years. In any event, the entire magazine has been scanned and put up on Internet Archive for your reading pleasure, and if you go into archive.org and you look for Mole People Warren, the whole magazine is available as a PDF. I think it's a PDF. One more item. You mentioned the Mole People was featured on MST3K in Season 8. The first during its revival on the Sci-Fi Channel and returned to strictly genre fare for a while. Years earlier, Dr. Forrester and TV's Frank occasionally had a pair of mole people named Jerry and Sylvia who worked for them in Deep 13, including getting involved in a few sketches. These characters were retired because the costumes were unbearably hot under the studio lights. Amusingly, the names Jerry and Sylvia are references to Jerry Anderson and his wife Sylvia. Jerry being the creator of Super Armatron, as seen on shows such as Thunderbirds and Stingray, and Sylvia performing nearly all the female roles in these shows. Besides the obvious puppet connection, the first two KTMA episodes were actually Anderson-compiled films, Invaders from the Deep, a Stingray compilation, and Revenge of the Mysterians from Mars, compiled of episodes of the Captain Scarlet. Looking forward to what's the forthcoming B-movie content. Thanks, Luke. And yes, folks, so Mole People... probably the most controversial movie we covered all year, even though we figured it probably would be, you know, District 9. I'm hoping a lot of people enjoy that episode. Dad and I had a good time watching those movies back to back. Kind of weird that you watch two very controversial films back to back like that. But again, Mole People is one of those films that was lost for years and years. And the Fumetti, as Luke mentioned, was how we actually learned about this film because there was just no other way to see it. And trying to think, except for maybe coming later on seeing a tape of it, it wasn't until Misty covered it that it became kind of more out there. And now Mole People is available on Blu-ray. Special edition just came out. Or not specials, but the Blu-ray just came out of it. So thank you very much, Luke, for writing in. We appreciate anyone else wants to write in about any of the stuff. Hey, maybe you went to Jersey Fest. Let's hear about it. Or maybe, you know, you never seen the Mole People when you saw it in the theaters or who knows, whatever. Just send in. We'll love feedback. As it is, folks, we're getting into the fall now and we're kind of getting towards October. And I know October always means two movies. And as you mentioned before, we have The Monster of Piedras Blancas early on in October. And then later on in October, you're going to hear us talk about The Mummy's Curse. Again, maybe just give you some views so you can watch them ahead of time, be ready to go for when the episodes drop. I know some people like to do that, and some people like to listen to us first, then watch it. I don't know if we spoil the whole movie. It seems okay to me, but I don't care about spoilers, you know, kind of thing. I mean, literally, I just watched Endgame last night, and everyone's like, how'd you not see Endgame? Because I read it. Like, I read the Infinity Gauntlet, too. Like, I'm not surprised when anything happens. Like, oh, no, this person died. Tough. You know, kind of thing. So, anyway, thank you all for your support. We had a great time at Jersey Fest. We had a great time talking about all that stuff. If you have any questions or any of that stuff about Jersey Fest, you can always, you know, send those in too. I'm glad to answer them as well. So I think we're good, right?
Yes.
So until we get to the Monster of Piedras Blancas, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which up until a few days ago was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi folks, Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots Bugs Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc., are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?